One thing I've always been impressed by Alex and Layla, like, they walk the walk. When they say, hey, you should move fast and make decisions, they do. They iterate quickly and they sell, man. Holy cow.
Welcome to Marketing with Matt. If you're an entrepreneur or business owner looking to create more margin in your life and business, you're in the right place. For more after the show, be sure to check out profitmoreworkless.com. It's always good when you get a little behind the scenes. I think it's going to be juicy for marketers. So we're talking one of the rising stars, honestly, in the like digital entrepreneur space, Alex Hormozi. We've talked about it on a past show. Might have been on a hot take, actually. But regardless, it's hard to just go around on the internet right now and be a business owner and not see content from Alex. Tyler and I, it's interesting because we've known of and maybe known personally Alex for, for me, it's 2018. For you, it's probably 2016. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'd have to like check the phone.
Sure. Yeah, check the phone. So we followed his journey for a long while here and seen a lot of phases to it. So I think both hold high degree of respect and kind of like also admiration for what he's been able to accomplish. And you just look at it like, okay, he's doing a lot of things very well and also super intriguing.
Yeah. He's one of the few people I can say from being like looking behind the curtain, like he walks the walk and talks the talk. He follows his own advice. He does those things. I knew him when he was just starting Gym Launch and actually helped him with his first supplement company. But I've watched him make the hard decisions, have the difficult conversations with himself, with me, with partners and things like that to be able to get to where he is now. It's pretty cool.
No, for sure. And I really do think over the time, he is a phenomenal salesperson, but also a really savvy marketer. And I think people don't fully realize the depth of what's going on there. And so what I'm going to do is pull back the curtain on his current funnel. This is interesting because this is relatively recent. And I dove headfirst in and asked all of the deeper questions that I don't even think people in the process and system are even asking. And so here, as well as I'll timestamp this in terms of when is this relevant and accurate? Summer 2024. Is it going to continue this way? I have no idea, but it was really curious and really cool to kind of explore and experience. So a little bit of the backstory, if you're totally new to this world, he sold basically the majority of his companies, some, you know, stock only, equity only options, some cash, most notably, you know, somewhere around 40 million, 60 million. I forget the valuation and split that he got, but he got tens of millions of dollars in cash for a clean walk away and, maybe some equity rolled up in there. But so it was a clocked W, a win in the business. And this was post COVID. So I think it wrapped up in 2021, something like that. And so into 2022, he started somewhere around that time, immediately after they launched acquisition.com, which was designed to be a portfolio that could be personal brand led, never intended to sell. So he had already lived through a phase where he was like, man, the personal brand helped me grow it out. But then I had to transition my personal brand out because that was a weakness in the actual sales process. So the vision was, what if I could do this for more businesses, run a similar playbook, and build a portfolio that's worth $1 billion and never need to sell it because it quietly holds all these other entities. And that's when he started going deep into personal brand, into content. He went from probably like five, like Gym Launch was significant in its own right, like I said, to sell for tens of millions of dollars. But you're talking subscribers of 5,000, right? So it was like reach, organic following, 5,000 to 10,000 people. And to go to multiple millions in a matter of years is pretty significant. So he invested a lot of time and energy and resources into this. And the message was, let me teach you how to be a better business because I want to buy your business. I want to invest in your business. I knew from that process early on what he was doing, this kind of Roland Frazier style of consulting for equity is really what it was. So buying the business was, you give me a portion of your business and in exchange, I give you my time and attention. And so it was a no cash acquisition strategy, which no judgment, it's very shrewd, incredible. And Roland has an awesome book all about this. And if you don't know Roland, it's like an OG in the OG in the marketer world. I think he started Digital Marketer. So you know, concepts that have been played out in other scenarios. And I think Alex has just been a phenomenal executor of that, even to the messaging of like, I want to buy your business. And what does it mean behind the curtain? It means I want to have a share in your business in exchange for my time. So already very savvy there. It was also top line aligned. So I know the deals that he was making at least early on were a percentage of revenue, not of profits. And so it had to be good in the sense of like, you wouldn't do it if you didn't think you could also grow your take as the business owner, but he insulated, like he was not participating in any downside. He's like, I'm giving your time. I'm guaranteeing my upside from the threshold that you're at now. You're going to be paying me immediately based on the top line. And because sometimes consulting's like that. If I give you all the right ideas, but you don't do it, that's on you. I'm not doing it for you. I'm just drawing the blueprint out. I'm giving you my wisdom, my experience, my clarity there. And then they've also then built out this team. So they do have, they were able to take away even Alex's time. So now it's team time, right? Where they have heads of acquisition and heads of media buying and heads of HR, and they're able to also offer that. So like, why would you give away a chunk of revenue? He might say like, well, if you give me 10% of your revenue, but you're currently spending 15% on resources that our team could replace for you, you no longer have to have directors or managers because that just becomes part of the portfolio company. You just have your doers. It could be a very easy win-win where you're paying a percentage and you're winning on day one. So that was kind of the value proposition. This year, in the last year, I might even say in the last 6 months, it's been ramping up. In the last year, they finished a physical office space, big office in Vegas, and they started hosting workshops. It's clever. It's like they have the square footage. It was intended for the team. They also said, hey, what do we want to build? We want to build a place where people are here in person. So they relocate folks. They live in Vegas. They work, you know, in the office there. And they had the space. And so they thought, why don't we host a workshop? So they started hosting workshops. I think the first version of this was to rejected businesses. So businesses that didn't meet the cut, meaning they looked too messy that it didn't even make sense to even spend intimate time and attention with them. And so I'm sure one of his people on the team had a brilliant idea of like, hey, we got the space here. What if we hosted a workshop for these businesses? They would pay us to learn to be better. And then if they execute on it, become better, then maybe they'd be a better fit for a portfolio company. And so they started running these workshops. They've ramped it up now. So and that's where I kind of come into it. So I'm entering this where I've seen this slowly. I actually saw some businesses that had applied. That's how I kind of knew. It was like, oh, it's the people that didn't make the cuts, didn't get the like final stage interview, but they kind of got told, hey, come out for a workshop here because we'll make you better. And now they've ramped up to like full functioning funnel. So here's how it goes. Timestamp this because I can only anticipate the price goes up. It's $5,000 per ticket. You come out for a 2-day Monday, Tuesday workshop. If you got a partner, that's 10K. Like if you want two people to come, it's $10,000. You want one person to come, it's $5,000. That is the that's the price. And what are you getting? You're getting 2 days to go through their framework that they run through with all of their businesses. Interestingly, it sounds really appealing. That's like a really good informative thing. You realize it's true. Growing a business, there are some timeless truths to it. And so they start with the end in mind of here's what it looks like to build a business that someone else would want to buy. You build a business someone else would want to buy, chances are, even if you want to keep it because it's healthy, or if you want to sell it and that's the end goal, this is what you have to do. And so they work down the checklist that Alex, at least this is the story, that Alex got when he was positioning Gym Launch to sell. This is the same things that he had to address to get it into a sellable position. And so it's very compelling. It's like, hey, this is what I did to sell it. You saw that, like, it's true. I did sell it and I did a clean walk away, no earnout, nothing, cash right now. And so for so many entrepreneurs, like that's the dream. If you could sell a business, get paid tens of millions of dollars and be like, done. Like the next day, you have no responsibility whatsoever. Sounds pretty magical. And so very clean payoff. And the pain is usually something's not working in your business. That's why you're reaching out. You want to grow. You want to get to the next level. Maybe you want to sell. And now they're using this as like, don't even apply to become a portfolio company, go here first. So now the funnel is, I mean, the story is, we want to help you. And we find that if we give you enough value that you like already experience it without selling your business to us, then you're more willing and wanting to come and invest with us. So that's the thing. They run this every single week, Monday and Tuesday. Room capacity is about 100 folks. So think about that. It's $500,000. it's $2 million a month is what they're running just on top of funnel. Not, I mean, truly their top of funnel is like, you know, content. Then next would be books. And then here's this like in office, $2 million a month just by using space that was already there. And really well done. This is A plus so, and executed
it was,
team.
And it was full.
Full.
It wasn't like you was got full. There and there was like empty chairs in nope. the back.
No, this was full. This was full to the point of like borderline uncomfortable full. Like this was, they packed it out. They're like, this is it. I'm not saying it's uncomfortable. I'm just saying borderline. Like you, the chairs, there's no space between the chairs. And the chairs were good. The office has done well, but I'm like, this is capacity. So 100 folks in the room. You'll notice now, if you look at Alex's content, the kind of content that he's producing right now, is it's brilliant in terms of the flow that's going on. His team is running this whole process. They did it very, very well. His responsibility is one slot. And so you'll notice on like YouTube, the content he's putting out now, where it seems like there's all these people in the room, that's what he's doing. And so it's brilliant. He's checking the box of, I need to create more content for YouTube. And that is his live appearance in the workshop. So every aspect that Alex is participating in at the workshop is actually checking the box of creating content for the YouTube channel. And I'd say all of social media in general. This is, you know, TikTok, short form, reels, all this sort of stuff. So as you see more of like the question and answer, it's like Alex is talking about, it's at the workshop. You see him like presenting to a room, it is the workshop. So well designed, where it's like, this was monetized to get people in the room. The 95% of this is Alex is not there.
That was what I was wondering. Yeah. It's yep. like what percentage of the 2 days?
I mean, I'm talking 45 minutes.
Total. Or like each day.
So I'll talk to the full okay. like okay. his okay. total okay. commitment. I'll round up to say 2 hours. But I think half of that is variable because like he basically, I'll talk. It's probably 2 hours, and I'll talk it through. So day one, you go through, you work the framework. His team is teaching it, and they got kind of like their heads of all the thing, which is also brilliant because he's elevating his team there. Like they're the experts now. They're teaching through the frameworks. They've clearly spent a lot of time reproducing his thought processes and reproducing his methodology here and elevating the entire team. So they do it. And it's very, I say timeless. For me, I have an MBA. And I was like, oh, this is a refresher. Like these are not things that are always present and active in my mind. For some folks, they're like, man, this is breakthrough. I hadn't thought about this in the business. For me, I was like, oh, I have absolutely learned this before. I'll tell you my two big takeaways. Like, so no discrediting it. I enjoyed the process. It was well done. I was almost like just admiring the funnel as I was inside of it. So that's the other dynamic where I was enjoying it. Two big takeaways that I did not even consider as a measurement. I had heard of them, but we didn't actively measure these, is TTV, time to value in the business. Like, are you considering what is the moment where a customer says this was worth it? So trying to shorten that time to value and having that as a metric for the team to consider is how can we accelerate that experience of this was worth it? And the other thing was they run a ratio called LTV to CAC, which is lifetime value to cost to acquire a customer. We've used this and I've considered this metric, but they did, and I think it's appropriate, they do net LTV to CAC. So it's a profit. So sometimes, and I remember talking to their team, is they're like, they're using the generic terms because they're not trying to get too granular with it or trying to confuse folks. Sometimes lifetime value can be determined on the surface as gross. That's usually what it is. It's like, hey, how much does a customer pay you? They're using it, I think, appropriately or even more wisely, looking at how much do you profit from the customer relative to the cost to acquire the customer? Because this is where businesses can get into a sticky situation where they have a business that no one wants to buy because their LTV to CAC looks good in terms of top line to cost. But if you look at like net profit to cost, they're like, oh, this isn't profitable or it's not profitable enough. And so it realigns that metric, I thought, in a super helpful way. So those are my two like practical takeaways from day one, is like, oh, time to value, we should start measuring this. LTV in terms of like, it's really like lifetime profit or, you know, net LTV to CAC is the ratio we should care about there. And they gave some benchmarks, and I think it was super, super well done. But it was robust. They worked through the whole checklist, understanding, you know, what's what are the adders? What are the things that like increase the value of the business? And what are the detractors? What are the things that reduce the value and increase the risk? And so basically, as you want to mature, you need to increase the value, reduce the risk, and you can come to a place where you can determine what would someone actually pay for this? Like, what would someone value your business at? So super well done. Really, really, really well done. Folks in the room, I'd say anywhere from probably doing $300,000 a year to 30 million in terms of size of businesses.
That's a big range.
It's a big range, but this is why.
But still not like just barely getting started. Like they're in revenue.
I think they've at least filtered enough to like no one's just getting started, but at a $5,000 price point, like you could imagine someone who's even if they're netting $100,000 a year, they're not saying you can't invest in this way. And I'm not even necessarily saying it's bad or not worth it, but there's a lot of stuff. I mean, this is the hack, is I'm telling you, the content is on YouTube. It's the same, like the content, if you just watch this nice video, it's like you were there in terms of the fresh stuff. So day one, he does that. He does the final presentation on day one, which is not on YouTube. This is a talk, like kind of like a recapping the framework. What he is calling the value accelerator method, the VAM. So the VAM is that's the thing. That's the secret sauce. That's the framework there. I'm realizing as I'm talking about this, I'm probably signed something away saying I wouldn't share any of the stuff in here. So if you guys would just don't share or like this podcast, I don't want to get sued by acquisition.com. So the value accelerator method, and it's that checklist. He runs it through. He runs through a number of case studies, and you realize the whole thing is a pitch. So he runs through the case studies, and super compelling. This is awesome. And he's advocating for the VAM. He's like, this is the thing. This is the VAM. He doesn't do the pitch. He just delivers some value. Like, this is amazing. This is great. Day one was great. The lead comes up and she's like, wasn't that awesome? We got something more for you. So then she brings the pitch. What is the pitch? Another set of workshops. So it's level two. So they've got three levels in this kind of positioning. So level one, $5,000 entry level workshop. You understand the what. Level two is going deeper with, once again, just the team, the same people who presented, they gave you all the what. Now it's going deeper on the how. And you want to guess what day of the week that is? It is
Wednesday.
It's Wednesday, Thursday.
Just stay another 2 days.
It's Wednesday, Thursday. Not the same. You can't do it back to back because they've appropriately created this. Well, one, it's not realistic. I think they know it's not realistic. They have international folks. I would say about 10% of the room are international. They also, I think, do things well. Like, they've got Wi-Fi there. They don't let everyone have Wi-Fi because they can't handle the bandwidth. But I think they do for international folks. I was trying to figure out, they had like different colored lanyards for international folks. I was like, is that because they don't want to acquire international businesses? That might be the case. But I actually think it was because they give them a special treatment because they know they flew out. And so they may not have cell coverage or stuff like that. So Wednesday, Thursday, and in the future. So this is a $20,000 package for another workshop, going deeper on the how. If you sign up right there, you get to have a cocktail hour with Alex and Layla. So, hey, you upgrade, you buy, and now you get to hang out with Alex and Layla. I say hang out with Alex and Layla. I think they came at for about a half an hour, so I'm trying to like gauge time there. And what are they doing? Just Q&A on camera. These are the short form things where you see people asking a question. And it seems like he's at like a conference or like, who's he talking to, this person? It's at cocktail hour, which is in the office, and it was great. So I actually didn't talk to Alex. I talked to Layla, because the question I was curious applied more to her than to Alex. I also, I was also like conscious of, I didn't want my likeness plastered in like their content there. So I was strategically seated and engaging in a way that I was like, you'll probably notice this. Layla's content, like the videographer, it's usually the back of your head, and then like it's all on her face. Alex, they do side by side. So these are the things that like I was looking through. Is like, I don't want to become an ad for you know, acquisition.com. Love what they're doing. That's all great. But so
the funnel goes the 5K to the 20K. If you bring a partner, is it 40K?
No, you can bring a partner. A little bit blurry on there, but I believe you can bring a partner. They close about half the room. So if you want for like context there, We're doing the math on how much they're making per week through these workshops. Close half the room. At the workshop, we're not done. Then they actually have like an onboarding call. Like you sign up for it, and then there's like an onboarding call with the salesperson to set the dates and what you want to do there. They gather some other business, you know, info about the business, and depending on how you answer, if you're a big enough business, then they say, oh, you might be a great fit for level three. And if you're a good fit for level three, they set an additional call with their head of sales. And so level three is 10 people in a room with Alex. It's a day led by Alex. It's a 1-day workshop. And if you're curious, you can also see content from this. So go on his channel. And when he says, this is me with 10 other businesses that are doing between 1 and 10 million, solicited or know these are the people in the business, that's the day. Becoming a portfolio business is the top funnel. However, this is where I was intrigued. So I hop on the call with the salesperson because I'm committed to go deep into the funnel. And I enjoyed every second of it. So here's my little bit of a hot take to it. They did, I don't think this is public, but I derived it. They cut Portcos, right? Mm-hmm. Or just saying, like they took on these deals. Some folks aren't growing. Actually, even in Alex's presentation, to be fair, like you can find it if you've seen him. I don't know. That's why I don't know if his day one presentation is public, but they showed the standouts. So they actually have like, it was like a list of, let's say, 8 portfolio companies. And I was like, 3 or 2 stood out, right? And it was like it was a minor beat of like, let me see what was the difference between these ones. And that's what they said too, where it's like, these were the ones that we had helped them before, right? Maybe they had proven they would take action before we even committed to them. Well, for the integrity of the status that comes along with being a portfolio company, one, if you become a portfolio company, it's a strong non-disclosure. Like you can't disclose it. Mostly he says because, well, you know, one of the reasons is doesn't want his association to elevate the status or value of the business. So then they couldn't sell it or exit it. I also think it's to this regard is you get to be way more locked down in terms of the stats of your team, right? You're not actually playing publicly. So if you have your roster of portfolio companies in round one and you cut the 80% who did not meet the stats of what you're hoping for, now you can say, average performance for our portfolio companies are X because you just keep on cutting your underperformers. I also think this is what's motivated the shift to this model. I suspect that the average return for a portfolio company was under $115,000. And that's why they've shifted. So now if you want Alex's time and attention, and so it's not just 1 day, it's now 4 times a year.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, we're talking level three again, right?
Level three,
okay,
is a $115,000 mastermind in a sense. Call it a smaller thing there. And you get 4 times per year. So you get 2 of them are with Alex led workshops and 2 of them are that level two workshop. So it's kind of like, it's just like absorbed into it.
It's almost like they found a way to get that same average profit without all the legal complexities of becoming
exactly
a business
right.
partner and doing all those things.
You don't have the complexity and you have no downside. And now, as he said it more recently, as they've amped this up, is they're looking to acquire 2 to 3 businesses a year. True standouts that are more guaranteed to win, so you keep the association and the exclusivity of being a portfolio company at the highest value possible. But think of the opportunity cost there. So now Alex is doing this once per week, you guessed it, on Fridays, and they have capacity for 10. And so he is roughly 52. I would bet this is exactly what they're gearing up to, is he can do 26. So 26, because you have 2 of these a year, 26 times 10, 260 times 115.
29 million?
$29.9 million, $30 million. So this is, that's only one aspect of it. So I think this alone, workshops, is $100 million. Like,
yeah, just the education side of the business.
Just the education,
now very
not even
profitable.
Including the books, becomes a $100 million addition to the entire portfolio. You know, 30 million of that being the folks that, and this is renewing, like it is in, like sold with the full intention and expectation that this is renewing per year. And you get access to Alex twice per year. You get his team twice per year. and they go deep on your specific business running through the VAM model there. And so this is the current funnel full stack for acquisition.com. Obviously the top being, you know, if you, if you really enjoy it, have an absolute slam dunk and you're like, you know, and I saw you on, I don't know if it's once a month. I don't know what capacity is there in terms of actual connection. Or if it's, I think they're going to continue to mature out the team and do more of that to where it's like, hey, you currently spend 15% of your top line on director level roles. What if we eliminated those? We're able to bring those in sort of like the shared resources of the Portco, and this becomes an absolute no-brainer where you net 5% immediately because we'll even take 10% of top line. It's costing you 15%. And it just is an efficiency play there from like a, from a strategic direction. And so I'm not that's speculation in terms of that.
One of the angles they could take.
Yeah,
what was something that was like the most surprising in that 2 days that you spent there? Anything like that they came out of just angle you weren't expecting?
What was the most surprising? I mean, now that I've gone through it, I was like, oh, I connected all the dots. I did not fully realize like how efficient. That's what I was like. I was very impressed. I was not expecting this well coordinated of an experience. I think, and that's why I said, I think it's been 6 months. It could have been a year of the like trialing into this. They've clearly done a lot of iteration and improvement. They, you know, hired and recruited talent from spaces where like they're just doing it. Like they're coming from, in terms of like the private equity space, which is most closely where you would put the idea of acquisition.com is kind of like a strategic private equity. It's not venture because they're not as detached. Private equity kind of does some of this where it's consolidated resources. And so they went after, you know, high performing private equity employees and just are running through this playbook here. I think a number of people in the room, originally when it was pitched even, it was supposed to be like 50 folks. So I was not upset in the slightest there, but like it was sold as like we got capacity for 50, and I'm like, you put 100 folks in here. So
it's so funny because that's so opposite what usually happens in this space, is that someone's like, we only have 20 spots. You get there and there's 12, and you're like, they didn't even finish closing. And so they, one thing I've always been impressed by Alex and Layla, like I said at the beginning, they walk the walk. Like they move when they say, hey, you should move fast and make decisions, like they do, right? They iterate quickly and they sell, man. Holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, other surprising things. I think like just the level of efficiency was, I just so appreciated. Sometimes as a consumer, you're like, I want to, you know, extract all the value I can out of the thing that I bought here. I think for me going into it, even I was not, there's zero chance in my mind that I would ever want to become a portfolio company. I just
not a fit.
It's just not a fit. Yeah. I think it's also like, I think there's degrees of, what, I mean, I guess to be fair, going through it, like if they could make that no brainer, you know, position maybe, but I think it's also aligned, vision there. And so for me, think about this, if you become a portco, you can't talk about it, even like that NDA is even your success in it. So let's say you sell, you're like, okay, that's a story that I have. I live it, but I can't share it. And I think I've already shifted so much into being like, no, I document the journey. And so that would be a really difficult thing for me of why that maybe wouldn't be a fit. So I'm not going into it from that perspective. I think I've also seen a maturing in the journey. So I don't feel as much of starstruck as I think some people were in terms of that. And it's like, tons of respect, like credit to like what's happening there. But I've also seen a little bit of, I don't want to call it whitewashing of history. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't appreciate it less, but here's an example. Maybe that's a poor term here, but it's like, it's the bleaching of history. So in Alex's story, they were able to succeed when COVID was bad, even with the gyms. I know a big contribution to that was he sold to agencies. And so he doesn't, that's not recounted in his story ever.
No, it's funny how history does that. Details of history are left out. Doesn't mean it was dishonest, right? It just means it's you're missing some context, right?
And to that point, I'm not discrediting it. Like, he did do it. I would also say in that zone where he was like, I know he was giving away personal time with him weekly to agency owners. Like, I knew the people that were doing it. They had immediate, like, tons of access. And so I kind of also see, like, zoom it out fully. He was feeling burnt out. So the sale wasn't even just like I have conquered this mountain. Look at what we've accomplished. Let me now, you know, do this thing. It was I hustled my face off for the last 2 years. I need to be done with this thing. And so, all respect, he did it. Yeah, he got the win. He clocked it all. But so I think with that experience, I'm looking into this. I'm like, okay. Like, I noticed the small things too. He has a King Chart flipboard, which is the massive whiteboard thing that people use. And I think he first learned it from Russell.
Yep.
I have one now too. It's a great flip chart. He tapes over the brand.
He's like, there will be no free branding.
There's no free branding. Yeah. Which
I love that.
And so, like, this is where it's like, you can respect that. You're like, you are the athlete who's like, I get to practice 2 hours early and I only wear black apparel and I'm not going to even wear anything that says Nike on it because, like, I am, like, I care so much about my brand that I'm like, you get no free advertising kind of here. And, what do I mean about? I guess when I see those things, those are small details that I pick up on and I notice. And that is no, not taking anything away, but it shapes the lens by which I look through it, right? And so I can appreciate the game that's being played. I think he's super shrewd and wise and has his life oriented in a way where, like, dude, you can run at a speed that I can't run at because I have different priorities in my life. And so it's okay. Like, and we're also fundamentally, you know, disaligned on bigger questions of, like, why and purpose and meaning. And so, and that's totally fine. And so that's where, like, for me, you're like, oh man, I, and he says it like you just, if you hustle enough, everyone respects the hustle. And if you put enough inputs, it's like, you can't take anything away from the reps. But I am not unconscious. Like, here's a good difference for me. Key value of maturity in my life is going to be humility. I don't think that's a key value of maturity for Alex. And, like, no offense, if you're great at sales, you need high ego. Like, you constantly just challenge yourself to do it, to be undisputedly like, I did it. But you're also going to always talk about your accomplishments from the top of the mountain. And that's what I mean by, like, the bleaching of history is, it's not like, hey, that was a, maybe in small moments, it'll be like, it was hard. We had to work hard at it. But, like, that was probably a low point and a intentionally disregarded context to what he was able to accomplish there. And so maybe too many details for this, but there's my insight. I think folks would be super intrigued about it. And if you're curious, like I said, my full endorsement, I enjoyed the process. So I'm saying it, you know it. Hopefully I didn't ruin too much of the mystery there, but I think if you enjoy his content and you just want to marvel in the well orchestration of it, I felt like it was worthwhile and I enjoyed it.
Awesome.
Thanks for tuning in for this week's Marketing with Matt. Check out ProfitMoreWorkLess.com to learn how we create high margin marketing. Also, if you know someone who'd enjoy the podcast, feel free to make a recommendation. I'm sure they'll thank you for it. Okay, bye for now.